You have your Bibles this morning. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. He's given me tissues, Halls. That's great. Thank you, Kelly. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Notice my deep voice. Yeah. I'm going to be a radio broadcaster. Hockey broadcaster, yes. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 15. And I want to share for a few moments on we need to pray. We need to pray. And I'm going to be calling you forward at the end of this message to come and pray and seek God as we enter in a few days to 2020. And everyone is saying that this is going to be an unusually prophetic year, the year 2020. There's going to be a lot of things happen on the earth in preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be in prayer. Folks, I want to tell you that we need to be praying for our young people. We need to be praying for our young people. We need to be calling out to God on their behalf, because the enemy has put together a strategy to destroy them and to hinder them from coming to Christ. And so there are so many situations and circumstances that are happening, and we just need to be in prayer. I am calling on you to go deeper in 2020 in prayer. I'm calling you to go beyond what you've normally prayed to a new depth of prayer in the name of Jesus. Personally and corporately as a church, that God would deepen us in prayer in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray this morning that this message would settle in upon our hearts. Father, I pray that you would speak to us in a powerful way this morning. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have his unhindered way in our hearts and lives in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just want to commit this message into your faithful hands in Jesus' name. Amen. There's one thing that Satan is going to attack, and that's your prayer life. Your prayer life is the epicenter of what God wants to do in 2020. And when I say prayer life, I'm including the Word of God in that. I'm including prayer and the Word when I say pray. Reading the Word and praying. Mark chapter 11, verse 15. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. That must have been quite an experience for the disciples to see Jesus angry. Think about it. Jesus was angry. Can I say it again? Jesus was angry. You know, there's righteous anger. There's righteous anger. And Jesus was angry. And he drove out those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "It is written, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." So Jesus was declaring that his church prophetically speaking, is to be a place of prayer in the name of Jesus. We come to praise him. We come to worship him. We come to hear from his word. But we come together to pray. We come together to pray. Prayer is what's going to change things. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Petition, intercession, thanksgiving, praise and worship, all things that are to be taking place in the church. A place where believers from all nations can come together to know God more. How many know we get to know him more through prayer? Hello? We get to know God more through prayer. The church is not primarily a social club. Can I say that again? The church primarily is not a social club. It's not just a place where we come together and just get to know one another. There's more than that. It's getting to know God. It's getting to know God individually and corporately together. When prayer is not a priority in the church, the devil moves in. Can I say that again? When prayer is not a priority in the church, the devil moves in. Are you hearing me? That's what happened here. He said, you have made it a den of thieves. That's what happens, folks, when prayer is not a priority in the church, when everything else, social events are a priority, when just gathering together and just studying the word is a priority, but when prayer is pushed out of the church and out of our lives, that's when the devil moves in. Remember that. When we stop praying, the devil moves in. I don't want to talk about all the discouraging things that are happening in the church today, because that's not going to build you up. But let me just say, there's a lot of funny things going on in churches today. And it's because we have pushed out prayer. We've pushed out intercession. We've pushed out petition. We've pushed out thanksgiving. We've pushed out praise and worship. And the church has become a place of entertainment. But that's not the primary purpose of the church. It's a place to pray. Can somebody say amen? It's a place to pray. Come on, somebody. It's a place to pray. I want to talk about three things this morning about prayer. Number one, prayer prepares us for the coming of Jesus Christ. How many know he's coming? I want to say it again. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Very soon. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows. If someone tells you he's coming on September the 13th, 2020, it's a lie. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. You say, well, what about the month? That's stretching that scripture. Basically, no, we don't know when he's going to come. We just know that we have to be ready for his return. We have to be ready. We don't know the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed. Take heed. That word heed means to listen. Be aware. Be alert. Watch. Be on guard and pray. Pray, for you do not know when the time is. Are you hearing me? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We just know that he is coming back. And so what is God calling us to do? He's calling us to pray. To pray. To pray. Prayer keeps our hearts sensitive to the day and hour that we live in. Are you hearing me? Prayer keeps our hearts sensitive to the day and the hour that we live in. Did you know that we could be the generation that sees the coming of Jesus Christ? We don't know. The tribulation. I asked somebody recently, what's the tribulation? They couldn't tell me. Christians. Didn't know anything about it. Didn't know anything about the tribulation. I said, have you read the book of Revelation? Talks all about the book, about the tribulation. 7 years where God is going to pour out his wrath on this earth. We don't know for sure if the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation or in the middle of the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation. But the Bible says to be praying so that you are prepared when that day comes. Are you hearing me? Your heart is in tune with the Holy Spirit because you're ready for whatever happens on the face of the earth. And friends, let me tell you, they're already beginning facial recognition. I was astonished yesterday where they were saying that they caught a criminal in the States through facial recognition. They don't want to talk too much about it. They don't want to say too much about it. It's all in secrecy. But friends, that's all tied to the mark of the beast and one world government and one world religion that the book of Revelation talks about. You are not going to be able to escape. Whatever, wherever you are, they are going to be able to find you. They're going to be able to recognize your face. And they are going to be able to nab you in any situation or circumstance. I don't know about you, but that's alarming. That's alarming. That tells me how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. So what should we be doing? We should be praying. Individually and as a church, we need to pray. Prayer keeps our spiritual eyes looking heavenward. We're not tied to the things of this earth. We're not thinking about all the things that we could have or attach ourselves to on this earth. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I mean, if you knew he was coming this week, how would that change how you live? Well, friends, he could come this week. Are you hearing me? We don't know. We just have to be ready. And part of being ready is praying. Praying. And not the normal prayers. I'm asking you to pray more than you've ever prayed. I'm asking you to change how you live, your lifestyle. I want you to pray more than you've ever prayed before. I want you to be in the Word more than you've ever been before. That's just God calling and saying, Pastor David, you're right on track. That reminds me, I got to tell this little joke. This pastor was doing a graveside funeral, and while he was having going through all the scriptures at by the graveside funeral, his phone rang, and he picked it up. He said a few words, and he closed up his phone, and everybody was wondering, what was that all about? And he said, well, it's just Brother Ted. You know that he passed away. We're doing his memorial. He just wanted to let us know that he made it. We need to be ready for his return. Part of being ready is to be in prayer, seeking God's face. Are you hearing me? Secondly, prayer brings healing and restoration. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. Is anyone among you sick? Send them to the hospital. Now, we know there's 911, right? I called 411 one time, and I just got information. Is anyone sick? Send them to the drugstore. Is that what it says? I'm not against taking medication. I changed the word there, you see? Nothing wrong with taking medication. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. We still believe in miracles. I'm believing in 2020 we are going to see divine miracles. We are going to see healings. God is going to do some mighty things in this assembly in 2020. I am believing for that. How many are believing with me? Now, why did God put this scripture in the Bible if nothing's going to happen? Why did God bother putting this scripture in the Bible if nothing's going to happen? Why bother to do it if nothing's going to happen? How many know God wants to heal the sick? He wants to heal the sick. That's a desire of God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put this scripture here. This one is very specific. And I know the devil's up in the atmosphere saying, ah, come on. God doesn't heal anybody anymore. God doesn't raise the dead anymore. God doesn't deliver people from demons anymore. Forget about all that. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to God's word. I'm standing on the word of God this morning in the name of Jesus. I am believing in 2020 that people are going to be healed and they are going to be set free and they are going to be delivered and miracles are going to happen. That is a sign of the last days of time. God is going to pour out his spirit on those that are seeking his face. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins. Now that's an interesting little bit in this verse. If he has committed sins. Did you know that sometimes sickness is a result of sin? Not all the time, but sometimes the hindrance to our healing is some old-fashioned forgiveness. Are you hearing me? Sometimes there needs to be some things repented of so that the healing can come. Are you following me this morning? That's why we should always search our hearts. When we ask for healing, Lord, is there anything in my life that's hindering me from being healed? I wonder if we ask that enough. Lord, is there anything in my heart that's hindering me from being healed? Is there any attitude? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there any bitterness? Is there anything from the past? If there's nothing, then there's nothing. And we go on to receive the healing that God has promised. If there's something there, according to this verse, we will be forgiven. We will be forgiven. Then we can receive the healing that God has promised. Confess, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. I like another translation. It says, confess your sins to one another. When's the last time you did that? Oh, that's good. Confess your trespasses to one another. You know, that's dangerous ground, isn't it? But you'll know there's unity in the body, and revival is at the door when people start confessing their sins to one another. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now that word healed, if you take that word out, healed, it's not talking about just physical healing. It's talking about inner healing. How many know there's some wounds that God wants to heal? Oh, I just feel that so strongly this morning. There's some wounds that need to be healed through confession to one another in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we have to get the poison out of our system because it's destroying us. You know what? Sometimes there's some things that have lingered in our hearts for a long period of time that God wants to deal with. Are you hearing me this morning? Things that are just sitting there on our spirit that through confession, through restoration, they can be healed in the name of Jesus. Did you know those things can affect our physical bodies? Unconfessed sin or things that have been buried over a period of time and just pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. God says, you know what? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I declare that this morning in the name of Jesus for Grace Christian Fellowship, that it would be healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody join with me right now. I pray a prayer of divine and inner healing from every wound that has happened inside the four walls of this building. I pray for healing in 2020. I pray that lives and their hearts will be mended in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know what? Just because you put something aside doesn't mean it went away. Can I say that again? Just because you've pushed it aside doesn't mean it's gone away. Now, I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying this morning. I know my voice is not that strong, but you know what? It doesn't have to be that strong to say what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I am saying in the name of Jesus that if you'll let that thing be healed, whatever it is, if you'll confess it, if you have to talk to someone and say, listen, forgive me because I've allowed something to get in the way of our relationship, which has hindered my relationship with God, it is going to unlock a door for you in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Something is going to be unlocked in the name of Jesus. The devil says, push it down. Don't talk about it. Leave it alone. It's gone. You don't have, it's buried. It's, you know what? That's the problem. When you bury something. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't like the glasses that I wore. So you know what I did? I can't remember how old I was, Matthew, but I think I was 12 or 13. I didn't like my glasses. Don't do this, by the way. I didn't like them. So you know what? I went out and buried them in the garden. That's what I did. I buried them in the garden. I don't even remember doing it. But I buried them in the garden. I hated those glasses. I went to school with them, and I put them on. I just hated them. I'll show you pictures sometime, and you can confirm that. Man, those are terrible-looking glasses. I buried them. But you know what? My father loved gardening. And he went out, and he did his garden. You know, he would have loved Creston because he just loved gardening. He liked being outside. He loved animals, and he was doing his garden, you know, he was hoeing and whatever he was doing, and sure enough, he found the glasses, and he brought them inside. He said, what's this? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happened. You know, when I was a kid, I have to tell you, because we got time this morning, don't we? When I was a kid, I did a lot of crazy things. You know, I remember one time my father had a new travel trailer, and I saw a bug. I saw a bug on the door, and I just went to give it a good swat, and I broke the whole glass on the... But you know what? Those glasses that I buried got resurrected. You know, when we try to bury things, God keeps unearthing them. Follow me this morning. Every time we try to bury something, God unearths it. You know why he unearths it? Because he wants us to deal with it. Come on, somebody. I'm on to something this morning in the spirit realm. Every time we try to bury something, God unearths it. Because he wants us to deal with it. It's hindering the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It may seem insignificant, but to God it's not. You know what? We as a church, we're going through a healing time. God is doing a lot of healing. This community needs inner healing. I want to declare that this morning in the name of Jesus. Creston is a place that needs inner healing. Healing on the inside. Lives being put back together again by the Holy Spirit. Tragic events have happened. Things have taken place. And there's a lot of buried things that God has to unearth so that they can be dealt with in the name of Jesus. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's how powerful prayer is. So powerful. Lastly, prayer helps us to overcome temptation. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, and I'm closing. Maybe. Then he came to the disciples. And he found them sleeping If you were in an emergency, how would you like to go to your friends and you're in an emergency and they're sleeping? That's sad, right? He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Exclamation mark. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. Don't just watch, but watch and pray, lest you enter." That word enter means give in. Did you know the devil? You know the devil gets up early? I don't even know if he sleeps. He always has those tired eyes. So maybe he doesn't sleep. And you know, from the time you get up to the time that you go to bed, the devil is trying to come up with a temptation to get you off track. Are you hearing me? He wants you off track. Away from the will of God, away from the purposes of God, away from the things of the Lord. And he's going to use anything and anyone to try to get you off track. You're just humming along. You're just humming along. Can I say it again? You're just humming along. I want to say it one more time because it sounded so good. You're just humming along, and the devil wants to get you off track. You're praying, you're reading the Bible, you're seeking God, and then something happens to try to get you off track. Look at the next part of this verse. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing. Your spirit wants to do God's work. But your flesh drags you down. So what's the key? The key is to strengthen your spirit. Amen? Prayer strengthens your spirit. That's why the devil hates when you get on your knees and pray. He doesn't want you to pray. He wants you to stay weak. They say 1 week without prayer makes one a weak Christian. Did you get that? When we stop praying, we get weak spiritually. And sometimes all the devil has to do, listen, watch me. This is all the devil has to do to some Christians. Not you, of course, but other ones. This is all he does. And then they just fall over. And they just fall over. Why? Because we've stopped praying. I don't care how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter what your heritage is. Your mother could be a Christian. Your great-grandmother, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother could be a Christian. If you and I stop praying, we're toast. We're toast. Prayer is the lifeline to God. Prayer is the lifeline to God. Prayer is the lifeline to God. I want to say it again till I hear an amen. Prayer is a lifeline to God. Prayer is the lifeline to God. You know, I hear all these, I don't know if you ever listened to the message. That's the prayer on Sirius XM. The songs, have you ever listened to some of the songs? You know, God loves you. You can be a bartender. You can be an atheist. You can be, God still, you know what? God does love us. But there's a part we have to play. Are you hearing me this morning? Yes, God will rescue us. God will come to our defense. But there's something that we have to do. The Bible says, draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. You have to do the drawing. God will do his part. But it starts with us. Are you hearing me this morning? It starts with you and me. We have to do the drawing close to God. And then God will draw close to us. Prayer strengthens the inner man. So think about that this morning. All the distractions that happen in a day, and how the devil wants to get you off track, away from the Bible and away from prayer. He'll use anything, anyone, to try to get you away from the presence of God. Because that's the source of your strength. I'm not trying to condemn you this morning. I'm trying to let you see how the devil works. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Listen, carnality grows in us when we don't pray. Sometimes there's carnality even if we do pray, but it grows more when we don't pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? When we pray, carnality diminishes because we're connected to God and the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow from us. Prayer is what unleashes the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts. When we get connected to God. You know, when I was a kid, I did a lot of crazy things. One time I put my finger in the light switch and I got an electrical shock. But you know what? We need to put our finger in God's light switch. And we need a Holy Ghost shock. Can somebody say amen this morning? We need the energy of the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives. I'm not suggesting you go home and do that, but I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. Prayer makes us aware of the traps of the enemy. Do you know the devil's always trying to trap you? But you know what? When you pray, God opens your spiritual eyes. And you begin to see, hey, that's a trap from the enemy. I'm not falling into it. I'm not biting. You're like those fish. When you go out fishing, not every fish bites on the worm. Because there's a couple of fish that are saying, hey, listen, Charlie got hooked last week. I'm not doing it this time. And they swim away. It's a silly illustration, but you know what? The enemy's always trying to hook us. That looks good. That looks wonderful, and he's trying to hook us. But when you pray, the Holy Ghost gives you discernment in the name of Jesus. And you begin to see what the devil's up to. Come on, somebody. You begin to see what the devil's up to. God opens your spiritual eyes in the name of Jesus. And you say, I'm not falling into that trap again. God is giving me divine insight. Come on, somebody. Can you shout amen this morning? God is showing me something. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. I am calling you to prayer. You say, I am praying. I'm calling you to more prayer. I'm calling you to deepen in prayer. I'm calling you to pray like you've never prayed before. You say, I'm praying like that. I'm asking you to go higher. I'm asking you to go deeper in the name of Jesus. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take the insight and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God is able. Can somebody say amen? And you are going to be used as a tool in these last days, an instrument that God can flow through in Jesus.